said, lack of sunshine. Mm-hmm. The chill of an Irish summer reaches its icy fingers to touch your exposed skin, uncovered due to a mixture of ignorance and a foolish faith placed in the belief that summer means sunshine. The constant sound of your teeth chattering is an unwelcome accompaniment to the drone of the wind in your ears as you wander shivering under the canopy of grey cloud that covers all hope of a blue sky.
And next we have, also from Cork, Michael Ray.
Okay, this poem is called Lagan. For those of you that don't know what Lagan means, it's the name given to a marker which is attached to something which is up on the seabed as a way of finding it again. Lagan. Her bones had silted under 120,000 tides until a diving Juliet's love of past made her lagging. This settled corpse, exhumed by digger, is chainsaw ripped, her rack of ribs robbed from the racing tide. A man with an air of measurements makes important noises, struts the pier, admonishes locals for their interest. Cut and crated, remains wrapped, she languishes on a Connemara island, dismembered relic of colony, tucked tight behind the tide line amongst overwintering pots, she eyes her old home longingly. Thank you.
Thanks, Michael, and now we have Darren.
I've been tangled. This is kind of, I guess, maybe a little bit inspired. I thought it was that you came, looked at the work, went home, and were inspired and went home. But I looked at the work and went home, and the life of me kind of interwove a little bit more than perhaps just the work might have claimed. So I'm just going to stop talking and read halfway, no, a little bit through this. I give a description, I guess, about what the poem is about, and then the poem begins. Just forgive me, because I'm very sorry with you anyway. The ability that is hearing becomes a skill in order to create music. The ability that is sight becomes a skill in order to construct its image. The ability that is touch becomes a skill in order to create room. The ability that is effect becomes a skill in order to craft. The ability that is love becomes a sense in order to reconnect. The ability that is good becomes a position in order to reset. The ability that is life becomes a birth in order to tremble. I don't take much to exist. Not a pin nor a well-positioned prick will pinch me from my being. If I laugh, a tall tree somewhere will shake it off. One of a majority, another of no real consequence. Lest the first is shot. Rhythms and movements borrow all. And what would you give for a wish? Would you give a promise? I motion to resist the offer and free myself. I hold you unborn, rooted by your passions. I rob you your first breath and your last. As white is forever white, I want my skill. There are no favors for the craftsman. And here today, that day then, no red riding hoods to pull from stomachs, no wizards waving wands at frogs, those would-be princes, no miracles and no mirage. There is something, hard at work, the elves cobble quietly, tap, tap, tap. We mustn't break the mood, We mustn't tell them that they are trapped in night, on night lest they collapse. In horror, as we await to all of the materials to make the shoes, but none of the skills. Did Jesus walk on nails because he didn't believe? Perhaps. Forsaken, he failed to believe. He died alone, barefoot, dispossessed of all but an image. But is it art? Whatever the butterfly imitates, it hides within. The father of man. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Darren. And next up, we call Jerry to the microphone.
About 220 years ago, roughly, there was a man ploughing a field up in Scotland, and as he ploughed the field, he turned up a mouse at the nest. And instead of standing on the mouse, as any ordinary, average farmer would do, this man went up and wrote a poem to that mouse, which happened to become one of the most famous poems in the English language, because the man in question was Robbie Burns, Scotland's national poet. So, about 20 years ago, I was digging my garden and I turned up, not a mouse, but a worm. And instead of stamping on that worm, I decided to go and write a poem to that worm and try and do for a worm what Robbie Burns did for a mouse. So, this is a poem, it's called To a Worm, and my best Scottish accent with respect to Robbie Burns. And you just have to imagine a little pink fella at the bottom of my scrum, eyeballing me, and I'm eyeballing the little pink fella back. So to a worm. We sleek it, slippery creature. Hope you don't mind if you feature in this brilliant poem of mine. Beat stamping from a fishing line. Indeed, hasn't made to you a curt that I could be the airy bird, ready to slide you down his throat. Up, but he'll relax. I'm just the poet, inspired to verse by your pink figure, all cuddled up here beside my digger. Forgive me if I stop and stare, but you look so vulnerable lying there. Also hope I may be rude, but how do you go down there, in the nude? And what's it like having to commute, underground in your birthday suit? Riddling about in the dark in your pelt. Can I be healthy? Do you never get felt by a randy ant or saved a bee whose pedigree's not guaranteed? Ach, myself I cannot understand. Just how you cope with mere hand. She cannot touch or squeeze or hug a fellow worm or friendly bug. Can't pick your nose or pull a pint. Can't write a poem or roll a joint. And sign a cheque or shoot a gun. Perhaps you're having better fun. Still, you ain't got snooker, dance, football. What do you do for sport at all? No massage parlors, disco bars, no motorbikes or flashy cars. Hey, tell me, you lying in that drill, how does a worm get a thrill? No, I don't mean to embarrass, pride, or vex, but what do worms do for sex? And tell me if this is near lie, but I hear just sort of girl and by. One end of you they say is female, the other ends are macho male. My God, but that's a right way laugh. You're really stuck with your other half. They better stick to the same old course. It'd be right painful to have a divorce. But here, I think I'm only wasting time, practicing on and reading a rhyme. A single word you can hear. She, you don't even have an ear. Often I didn't suppose that you hear that. My other half wondering what I'm at. But if she finds out I've been chatting with a maggot, I'd be locked up. I really have had it. So listen, I'm away in now to watch the telly. Off you go there on your belly. And here, keep off the lettuce and cabbage seeds. Aye, and keep an eye out for centipedes.
Thank you. Next up, could we ask Eckhart McGinty?
This poem is called Ex Libris, and it's a found poem, basically random lines I took out of books in my bookshelf. So, just keeps the fit. So, Ex Libris. One thing you should know is I'm a whore on the beach at Pampalong, where the sea is milky white, barely distinguishable from the early morning sky. How right you were, Pascal, about our inability to sit in a room alone. In the silence of my third floor attic under the mansard roof, I was faced with the tedium of my existence. I set out on a journey, praying that the road would be long. He appeared beside me, spindle shanked, beach blonde, gave me courage, palm touching the black laces of my bodice. His name was Santiago. Our baskets grew more intense as we were mobbed by heat. We followed others, grape pickers and bricklayers, computer programmers and sex workers, these and millions more, my ancestors, who wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. The stars came floating down like paratroopers. We who saw hushed. The noise stopped, as though a fountain had been abruptly turned off. Then he was gone. They were gone. I was alone on the beach at Pampalong, where the sea is milky white, barely distinguishable from the early morning sky. I sat down and waited. And this is a poem called He Was. He was a windmill, endlessly moving, yet fixed. He was a cobra, fangs millimetres from a wrist. He was a crystal decanter, flung across a room. He was a rain-filled tent in a monsoon. He was the dragonfly walking on a sun-baked back. He was a cored apple filled with duffer for cooling smoke. He was the stile crossed to a midnight fire. He was the fishing knife held against a medalla's throat. He was an orange rolled to a rogue elephant. He was the jacaranda drum played in an empty riverbed. He was a chameleon, uncertain whether red or green. He was a motorbike swiveling 360s in a storm. He was a swimming pool made from a drought-stricken furrow. He was the day after tomorrow.
Thank you. Thank you, Epic. And next up, could you please call your microphone Leslie Ryan?
Has anybody heard cloudberries before? Or come across cloudberries? Well, I never have, and I imagine that cloudberries or cloudberry jam must be the most exquisite jam you could ever, ever, ever taste. And that it couldn't possibly be real, but actually it is real jam. It comes from Lapland, and they also use it in Denmark and in Scandinavian countries. So I certainly had to track down, having seen Becky Adams' piece, Michael Allen's poem, Cloudberries, which inspired the piece. And what I might do actually is just read what Becky said about the piece itself. There's a delight in small things within the poems of Michael Longley, something that also preoccupies myself as an artist. His poem, Cloudberries, begins with, "You gave me cloudberry kisses, jam from Lapland." The poem is filled with love and cloudberry kisses that I would imagine make the recipients glow with warmth. In response, I have hand embroidered a label for some cloudberry jam and attached it to a frosted jar that is part magic itself. The jar is actually solar powered, and once fully charged with sunshine, will glow at night. So that's Becky Adams' jar over there. We might take the jar out later and see if it glows. Or not. Okay, and cloudberry. "You give me cloudberry jam from Lapland, bog amber, snow line tidbits, scrumptious cloudberries, sweetened slowly by the cold, and costly enough for cloudberry wars. Diplomatic wars, my dear. Imagine us among the harvesters, keeping our distance in sphagnum fields on the longest days of dawn and dusk like frustrated lovers can kiss. Legend has it, once a year. Kisses at our age, cloudberry kisses."
Well, we're just about at the end of the evening. I'd like to say thank you all very much for coming, and thank you to Grace Wells for a wonderful reading, and for the Cork poets for coming up from Cork. In the early days of Avail, I used to MC all the time for the first 2 years, and since then, luckily, there's about 10 of us, so I have to bother, every 10 weeks or so, I've been up there every 2 months. And I used to end the evening then with this. It's called a Bale Corker. "A delightful aftertaste, this river of kingly colour, an ocular delight, this stream of her poesy, a vein aortic mix of spirit liquid, as even evolved vampires overdose on blends of rich, thick contradiction, of unraveled breaths expired, and even as muses, pilgrim seasoned muses, each leave a trail of purple dripping from tongue and teeth, a new harvest of mystery, and even as starved poets sip a mountain manna purple poem wine, dream drunk poets, pulse deafened, descend purply their seasoned lips." Thank you very much.